Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at, once again, let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:3. We're gonna go where we've been. That's always fun. Do you like to go places you've already been? So right then you thought of a place that you've been that you really want to go back to, didn't you? Uh-huh. Yeah, me too. I love Yellowstone. I mean, I'm just looking forward to going to Wyoming and Montana anytime I can. And so that immediately comes up in my thought. And of course, the Caribbean comes up and Israel comes up. And those places I want to go again. But I also want to go to Jardín Corona again. Just trying to be relevant to everyone here. Praise the Lord. This is where Danny wanted to go on her birthday lunch. So we like it. You know, queso. All right. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're going to continue to talk about living in the truth. And it's obvious if you're going to live in the truth, then you're going to have to come out of lies. You can't live a lie. You can't live in lies. And so if you're going to stop living in lies, then you have to stop believing lies. Because when you believe something, you receive something. And so we have to come into the place where we're not receiving the wrong thing. And we talked about Sunday, the three enemies of our soul. And there are three enemies of truth: the devil, the flesh, and the world. And the devil is deceptive. He plants ideas. Those ideas play to disordered desires of the flesh, and then they are normalized by a sinful society. And we certainly see that today. We see the devil putting crazy thoughts in people's minds all the way down to little children, and adults helping them with that. I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but it is true. And then we see this world trying to normalize these things. You know, That lie of, well, I was born this way. No. Well, I'm born again.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think misunderstood scriptures have caused Christians to misunderstand our role in the earth. And, you know, turn the other cheek. Now, we'll look at that some evening or some morning, but right now I'm just mentioning it to you. Turn the other cheek, or return good for evil, or walk in love. And they, those are great truths. They have truth in them. But here's a great truth. You need to know your enemy. And I'm going to say something important to you. And interesting enough, I heard Jesse Duplantis tell the Flashpoint people this last night. We need to unmask the enemy and develop a strategy to fight back. We need to understand what our strategy is, church. What is this? What are we doing? It's not just yelling in tongues into the atmosphere. That's not what we're doing. There's a whole lot more to it. You know, all of the unrest in this country tells us that something is off deep within the souls of people. The devil's just sold people a bill of goods. So, you know, if you love, then you'll just take it. You'll say something soft and wonderful, and you'll accept everyone's behavior and their false beliefs that become habits and then idolatry, because after all, I must walk in love. That's not all love is. Right. Love just is, it, you know, the Bible does say a soft answer will turn away wrath. That's a truth. But, I see where Jesus had some certain words for some certain religious people, and they weren't kind. And if you read the book of Proverbs, which I've been doing here in these last few days, I'm like going, whew, did you just say that? Because there are stern things said by Solomon. And he meant it. And, love, we'll take on different roles as it helps people, as you help people. And so we have to find out how that works. What's really going on with that? The truth is, in order to live in truth, we have to answer thoughts and suggestions that come into our minds and come into our ears. We need to do that. One thing to just mention here. Let me say this to you. Because this has always helped me. You can love someone and not accept their behavior. There are people that you know, that you absolutely know, that they've been tricked by the enemy, by how they live their lives. Not saying that we're perfect either, but just saying, you know, there's certain paths that people take. But you can love them. Just love them. But you don't have to accept their behavior. And there's a way to tell them, I love you, but I don't agree with that. And that's the way it is. You don't have to make hate. You don't have to be hating people or hating on people, but you don't have to accept everyone's behavior. That's not required of you in your love walk. So, anyway, here's what you need to know about the devil. I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about him first. Then we'll talk about the flesh, which everyone will really love that one. And then we'll talk about the world. Praise the Lord. Well, we need to know. This is a year of correction.
That's right.
Amen. So we're taking it. Guess what? When we roll over into 2023, it'll be another year of correction because we're going to keep going until we get it all. But here's what I'll have to tell you about this, and I hope you'll get this and take this with you. I'm going to tell you a few things, and then I'm going to get down into some things that many of you have heard me say before. We need to talk about it again, okay? So the devil's motto, tear it all down. That's what he's hell bent on, destruction. That's what he does. His ultimate goal is to spread death. If you think, well, if I just be quiet, maybe he'll leave me alone. No. That's not what he does. He wants to take you down. If it's beauty, he defaces it. Love corrupts it. Unity, fragment into a million pieces if he can. Human flourishing, push it to an anarchy or a tyranny. Either will do for him, but that's what he wants to do. He is anti-life, pro-death, pro-chaos agenda is an insatiable fire. That's exactly what he wants to do. Jesus, on the other hand, is the author of life, and he's an advocate of all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is true, specifically for love. God is love, and the devil is in rebellion against all that God is. So he is rebellious concerning love. He is hate, but church, most of all, he is fear. Most of all, he is fear. And you need to remember that. So, his intent is to wreck love, one relationship, one community, one nation, one generation at a time. He just keeps going after it. And this is why news feeds, they drip steady litanies of chaos and carnage. It's just, take this. I'm telling you, if you turned on your internet today when you're going through to get to your bank or whatever, boom, boom. I mean, trending today, hate Trump. Just trending all over the place, and you're like, come on, man. Just hate, just stupid, ignorant, just everywhere. Just the devil trying to stop another David in this world. You know, just hate stuff, hate, for whatever they can come up with, just hate. And then, of course, there's the other side. And it's the same thing. Just blah, 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 blah. It's all, so, but that's the devil's idea. Let's split them up. Let's bring hate in. Let's get everybody in this country divided, and then we'll take them down. Let's get everybody in the church on one side or the other. That's exactly what he does. So they're doing this. They're just dripping this. They're giving you this. And this is exactly why secular theories of evil simply don't fit up. They're not a valid explanation of human behavior, if that makes sense to you. It doesn't work. You can't put it all together the way that it's dripped out there. I'm sure you get a picture of that. And so that's why following Jesus is like a war. Because we look at all that and we're going, this doesn't, how many times have you said, or have you heard someone say, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why would someone think that? Every one of us have said that. That just doesn't make any sense. Why would you actually think that? But then that's why this feels like a war to us. Opposition. And I'm just going to tell you right now, there's no way out of the fight. But I will tell you this. You got to know what the real war is. Because I'm telling you, you need to make sure you have an understanding that this is the good fight of faith. Because you are holding a position in battles that have already been won. The only battle you have left is right here between your ears. That's the only place you have it left. You can learn to stand up for who you are. You can learn to stand up for what you believe. But you're going to have to do that in the mental arena. You're going to have to use your spirit man and get some things in it and take charge of that mental arena, and you'll come out on top every time. And you really can do this because that battle's already been won. I'll just say it to you like this, because this is where I want to go with this. As long as you keep your armor on and you've got a strategy, you need a strategy. He has a strategy. You need a strategy. Put that armor on. I'm going to help you with that. Go over to Ephesians 2:2 really quick, and we'll just touch on that verse, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 6:11. And I just pray that this will help somebody in the house tonight. I'm just going to just quote this part of the scripture. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world." See it? Okay, there's that enemy. Now, the phrase "according to" is, that's Greek, it's kata. K-A-T-A. And it means forceful or dominating. And the Apostle Paul chose this word, meaning that we were completely dominated or manipulated by the course of this world. Church, listen to me. People, unsaved people, and Christian people without the word are not always going to be thinking very clearly. Even people in the Word get to places sometimes where they do not think through truths very quickly. They're so bombarded with the lies of the enemy, and they don't stop and take authority over it, and so it just causes them to drift way down the path here. Are you with me?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, so he's trying to say here, one of our children, which will remain unnamed, said something really smart a couple of days ago just to their mother. They just said, "Oh, Mom, you know, this is someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, so we know why they behaved like that." Yeah. Thank God for children who know what's going on.
Yeah.
Consider the source.
Yeah.
People don't tell the truth because they don't know the truth. And some people, listen to me, they don't tell the truth because they don't feel the truth. I'm going to leave that alone a little bit, but you can work with that. So the devil's using that world system to dominate, but you don't have to fall into that. You don't have to be controlled. You're a son of God. You just obey God and you can just move forward. That's your place. You're not controlled by the prince of the power of the air unless you choose to be allowed, you allow him to control you. So Ephesians 6:11 now, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now that whole armor there, that is panoplia. It sounds like Monopoly, doesn't it? But that's a Roman soldier totally dressed in his armor from head to toe. Now, the Apostle Paul's sitting in prison a lot, right? So he's sitting there looking at every piece of that armor. Day and night, there's a soldier standing there, and he's studying this armor. And he's beginning to get revelation from God as he looks at this Roman soldier who has on all this armor. And so he's looking at it, and he goes, seven pieces. There's that loin belt. That's the central piece. Now, everybody that I was raised with said, we have to pick up our sword. This is our sword. We need our sword. I'm taking my sword to church. This is the loin belt.
Yep, it is.
This is the loin belt. This is not the sword. I saw some of y'all go, what? No, the written word is the loin belt. It's the centerpiece that holds the rest of the armor on. If this falls off, the rest is going to fall off, okay? So we have this, and then we have the breastplate. It's shiny and beautiful. It's offensive. It's defensive in its job. I don't have time to go through all of this, but... And then you have these very dangerous shoes. They're not Bernardo sandals, okay? They're actually... they're tough shoes. They got some cleats on them, okay? And then the shield, it's layers of hide on metal. It's so thick, and it's measured to your height. Yeah. They made them measure to your height. So it's not some little...
Yeah.
It's heavy, it's big, and they're behind it.
Yeah.
And it covers your whole body, okay? Yeah. And so these things are... They're just... I mean, this is war equipment. And then you have the helmet. It weighs 15 pounds. We're all going to be going... But they weren't. They were trained to wear it. And then the sword is created for jabbing. It's two-edged. It jabs, okay? Now, the sword, you're like, well, what is the sword then? It's the word in your mouth.
Yeah.
That's the word coming out your mouth. You can find that in Hebrews 4. The word of God, things coming, the word of God coming out your mouth, a rhema word. That's what Jesus used on the devil in the wilderness. It is written, Satan, and he would say it. That's what you need to do to him. Amen. That's what he did. Now, and then there was the lance. People leave that out a lot, but that's especially tooled to strike the enemy from a distance.
Yeah.
And you know what we call that? Prayer. Prayer. Okay. So the whole armor, and it said put on, that's the word enduo. And it means like you're just getting dressed, putting on a set of clothes. And so he's not making a suggestion to us. He's telling us, Ecclesia, put on the armor. Now, that is not for you to get up and come up with a cute kid song. I'm putting my sandals on. I'm putting my breastplate on. I have my sword. You know, I am a Christian, a mighty, mighty Christian. I got my helmet. You know, and you put it all on. That's all wonderful. You want to sing that song. Let me tell you how to wear the armor. One word, fellowship keeps the armor on. Fellowship with God and fellowship with these. That's what will keep your armor on. Praise the Lord. Anybody getting anything out of this? All right. So, you put the whole armor of God. Now, of God is tutheo right there. So that means it's directly from God himself. He's actually giving you all of these pieces. They all have a part of the word in them. They all do something different for you. They're all offensive. They're all defensive. They'll all work for you. And you're to put these on and wear them. And this is going to help you get your mind going right. Okay? So as long as your fellowship is intact, then your power source is intact.
Well, that's good.
Okay? Okay, two people thought it was good. If your fellowship is intact, your power source is intact.
Amen.
Tell somebody that around you. Tell somebody. Did you get it? Did y'all get that? Tell it to me.
As long as your fellowship is intact, your power source is intact.
Right. Okay, just making sure you're getting that. We need to know. A lot of people ignore their spiritual lives. And then they just cease to walk in any power. They think, well, I'll just drop by the church, see what they have to say. That's not a spiritual walk. It's being in communication with God the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and living in Him and with Him, and living with the church of the living God.
Yeah.
I don't like those people over there. I'll go because I have to. Well, you need to like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got something you need. That's right. You got something they need. So, but now hear me out, church. I want to get real specific on this. People ignore their spiritual lives. They cease to walk in the power of God. Then they complain that all kinds of trouble has broken loose in their lives. They often look for some deep, dark reason for this trouble that has erupted in their lives when the reason for the outbreak is simple. Spiritual armor has its source in God. So if things aren't going right, things aren't going good, there's your answer.
Yeah. Hmm. Praise God.
It's amazing how we begin to wonder and get off the trail. Well, you know, I guess this is because, you know. Isn't that right? And we've all done it. We can all look straight ahead. Yeah. Well, this is why, oh, why? Well, put that armor back on.
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you step away from them, I'm going to say this one more time. I don't feel like I can leave it yet. I want to make sure everybody heard it. You step away from the source, you step away from the answer. Okay, just make that clear. You're like, well, I love the Lord. I love Him every day, but I got to figure this stuff out. If you step away from the source and just get in that mental arena, you're not, the questions are in the mental arena. The answer is in the spirit. It's in the spirit.
Amen.
And you're going to have to decide if you're just going to go with your feelings. Or if you're going to go with the truth. The truth is just so much better. The spirit realm is so much better because you'll get through everything so much faster and there'll be so many things that won't be so important to you.
Praise God.
It's turning out better than I thought. I needed to hear this. Okay, so You're maintaining a strategic position over the battlefield of your life and your mind. Why do we need the armor? We need to put on the full armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? Now that word, that so that we're able, that's in that scripture, is actually the word dunamis. That you have the ability to stand. Okay, you have the ability. So you're in fellowship with God. You're close to Him, which gives you the power. You're flowing in your fellowships. So that gives you the power and the strength to say, no, devil. No. So what Paul's saying is when we walk in the armor, we're equipped to confront and pursue the enemy rather than to be pursued by him. Perfect example, and we're preaching to each other Sunday right after church. Jesse was talking about David.
Yeah.
He's the perfect example. He pursued the enemy. The rest of them hid because it was so tactical what the enemy did. He's just hitting them. What's he hitting them with, church? Words. Goliath is just plowing through them with what? Words. The internet's just plowing through you with words. The news is just plowing through you with words. Your mind can just plow through you with words.
Wow.
I'm reading this book that is so amazing. I can't even tell you the name of it right now, but I'm just going, oh my goodness. It's this guy. He writes. he just writes so marvelously, and he's telling about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said that creature came in there, and he had the power to speak multidimensional into your thoughts. And he's made it so colorful, and I went, ooh. I mean, you could just sense, you could just really pick up the feeling of it. Well, he's really no threat to you. But he does speak from that realm to this realm into your thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll go there. So in fact, I'll just say that when you're standing, that's the word stenai, and it means your shoulders are thrown back and you're in a military sense to maintain a critical and strategic military position over a battlefield. You guard over the battlefield of your life. You're on guard. No. And then you pursue. You start pursuing.
Yep.
You don't just fight it off.
Yeah.
Answer it. That's my last line tonight. You're getting ahead of me, Deb. You're going to have to roll that back a little. No, I'm kidding. She's preaching tonight, I'm telling you. Okay, so the battlefield of your mind. Now listen, as long as your mind stays in check, and is renewed by right thinking, by the word of God, the majority of spiritual attacks will fail. They're going to fail. However, if the mind is left open and unguarded, it becomes the primary battlefield of Satan, and he uses it to destroy your life, destroy your finances, business, marriages, emotions, and so on. So it's your responsibility to stand guard over your mind. Nobody can do that for you. I can't do that for you. Your husband can't do that for you. Your wife can't do that for you. You will have to stand guard over your own mind. You see that? It's true. That word against there in that scripture means, it's the word pros actually, and it means forward position, our face-to-face encounter, our eyeball-to-eyeball.
Wow.
And that's what David did.
Yeah.
He said, I'm coming.
Yeah.
He hasted it, said. He ran.
Yeah.
He said, you say you're going to take me out? Uh-uh, I'm taking you out because I'm the one with the covenant.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're just like an animal. I have a covenant. You don't. We'll get around to preaching about that one day. I really love that stuff. So, without all this, you're not a match. But with this, you're more than a match for the enemy. You're on top of everything. So then, rather than shudder at the thought of what the devil can do to you, that spiritual armor puts you in the position to make the devil shudder what you can do to him.
Amen.
And he is a fearful creature. So he will actually be afraid of what you can do. So when we're dressed in the armor, we become these mighty spiritual warriors. How are we dressed in the armor?
Fellowship.
Fellowship with him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of all my, I'm with God, I'm in God. I'm in Christ, in whom? I'm in him. I'm in truth. I'm going to live in truth. Now we'll head down the track here. You're dressed to win when you have this on. Now, I mentioned standing against the wiles of the devil, the scripture. There's three important words that you have to learn if you're going to take charge of your mind, okay? Three words you need to know. Number one is the word wiles. Number two is the word devices. And number three is the word deception. It's impossible to have a correct or a balanced view of spiritual warfare and if you don't understand these foundational things that I'm going to set before you right now. You need to understand this. So these are foundational words, are so important. Wiles, if you look it up in the Greek, it's the word methodos. Now, can you hear the English word?
Mm-hmm.
Method. Can you hear it? But method actually doesn't reduce it to its real word. It's actually meta-ados. And what it means is with a road.
Mm-hmm.
Wiles means with a road. Mm-hmm. Now that is specifically, what a great word to use, because it specifically tells you how the devil comes in with devices and deception, with a road, with one road. So people translate it trickery, subtle trickery, stuff like that. But really the truth is that all of that subtle trickery boils down to that it only comes in on one road. He's only got one trick up his sleeve. Just one. He just has one. You're like, well, you sure could have fooled. No, he just has one. He has one way. The word devil in the Greek is diabolo. And diabolo means hit until penetration. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make you think. And he's gonna try to drive something in you, and once he penetrates, then he's got something going. But you're gonna have to know these words here, because the next word is devices. Mm-hmm. And device actually is see if I can give you the, yeah, 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay? Yeah. So we're not ignorant of his devices. That's nomata. Nomata. Nous, which is derived from mind, and when you put it all together with the rest of it, it means deceived mind. It's a deceived mind. So he's coming in on one road to deceive your mind. He's coming in on one road to deceive your mind. Nobody loves me. My wife don't love me. My kids don't love me. My husband doesn't love me. My brothers and sisters don't love me. The church doesn't love me. They love Larry, but none of them love me. I love Bobby because he always looks cool in those cowboy hats, but they just love Bobby. But I just need to go, you know, nobody loves me over there. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. They won't help me. I think of a true story. I don't mind telling you. Virginia, God bless that wonderful girl. There was a lady that came to church, and Virginia lent her that car every day for over a year. She lent her car every day so that girl could drive to work in it. Every day. This is how deceived people can get. One day the lady gets mad at something, probably something I said. And she left, and this is what she told people in town. Victory Church never did anything for me. Now, we forgive her, of course. But think about how that deception. You forget what good someone has done for you so quickly. If something else happens, what about all the love they gave you, and then they make one mistake and you blow up and it's over? What about all the friendship they gave you, and just because they tripped up, then it's over for you? That'll preach. Okay, so what we're looking at here then is we have these two words. We have wiles, that tells us he travels on a road. Devices tells us he's headed for the mind. He's on one road for your mind. And whoever controls the mind controls the health and the emotions. Whatever controls the mind controls the health and the emotions. Yeah, that's right. It's true. All right. So the third word then is deception. Deception occurs when a person believes the lies that the enemy's been telling them. Nobody loves me. You said it with your mouth. So here's a real good one. This is real big. The devil loves this one. You're just a failure. You didn't do anything. You haven't done anything for anybody. You've never been any good. Just a failure. Didn't make any. You haven't made any sense to anybody. Just haven't done anything. You're just a failure. And then in a little while you go, see your best friend and say, I've just failed. I'm a failure. I'm just a failure. I don't know why I'm a failure. My mother said I would be one, and I am. You know, and you go down the trail. Mama. But that's just a lie. All right, here's a lie to roll you into questions. Why didn't I have a breakthrough? Why don't 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 I have a breakthrough? But see, that's the devil put that question in your voice, in your mind. Why isn't it working for me? The devil's talking to somebody in this room right now saying, hurry up, Pastor, I'm sleepy, I need to go home. Praise the Lord. Wake up, slap yourself a little bit. Okay, so as long as you resist the allegations, then they don't have any power over you. But on the other hand, if you begin to perceive them as truth, then those lies will begin to dictate to you. They're going to begin to dominate your emotions and thinking in the end. And it's going to get all over your emotions, and you're going to be all upset, and you're going to be crying and blah, blah, blah. And your faith will give that lie power, and then you will become unloved or a failure. It is true. The person that keeps saying nobody at the church loves me, eventually it'll come true. They'll try to love you and try to love you and try to break through with you and try to get to you but eventually everybody's going to walk around you. Not because they want to do that. It's just that you built this whole spiritual realm around you that just says it's not going to work. And then you don't want to let people in. Okay. So, these three, wiles means with a road, devices headed toward the mind, deception is when you embrace the lie. We put on the armor of God, and then we are absolutely way above the enemy, way above.
Right.
Don't be deceived. I'm going to stop there because there's so much more to this, but if we'll just stop every day and answer the enemy, because he comes to the shower. He comes to the brushing of the teeth. He comes to when you're pulling your boots on. He comes and he starts getting you to create a scene in your mind. On the other hand, God can create a scene in your mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And you start going with that. That's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. That's just the favor of God. Lord, thank you. That's the favor of God. I'm going to get some more favor. Me and Deb went to Chick-fil-A today, and Alan bought our lunch. I said, that's the favor of God. Praise the Lord. That's the favor of God. It is true. And you start and focusing on that. You know what? And that person that you feel like they don't love you, just start saying, I find favor with them. I find favor with those people. They do too love me. Yes, they love me. Pastor never talks to me. She's too busy talking to Danny and Mac. Draw me with your favor confession.
Amen. It worketh.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It's the Father that draws. But you can't draw something if you've just got this atmosphere around you of, who was that little Charlie Brown stinking one? Pigpen. He had that little smoke around him all the time, you know, and everybody's going, hey, no, no.
Yeah.
There's a spiritual atmosphere around people.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, there's people you'll walk right around and you don't really, sometimes you don't even intend to, but you'll just kind of go, and they're kind of like, you know, but it's because of something in them. But we're not going to be those people. And we're not going to be the people that just believe lies and cause us to break up with each other. Or believe lies that cause us to not prosper. Or believe lies that cause us to any kind of hindrance. You are not a failure. You are a success going somewhere to happen. You have the favor of God on your life. You are loved by God. You are loved by me. You're loved by David. You're loved by Randy. People in here love you. And I'll tell you what else. There is nothing between you and the Savior. Nothing. There's nothing between me and you. Nothing. We are clear. There is, I find no fault in you. Jesus finds no fault in you. If you need correction, take it from whoever you're getting it from. But just take it. You're all right. But I can't seem to make a breakthrough. Well, we need to get those thoughts out. We need to get those thoughts out and say, I know breakthrough is coming. I feel like singing songs today. I don't know why. Amanda and I are going to sing a special next week. We're working on it right now. Yeah. Getting excited about that. I don't know what we're going to sing. I don't know. Maybe Jingle Bells or something. Yeah. But see, I got to tie that in. Let me work on that. You win. So when he comes in with that dark, nasty, ugly, loser stuff to you, you can just kick him out. Yeah, but it's my feelings. I don't know. Listen. Yeah, but they hurt me. Church, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. So forgive them. Forgive them, and then God is going to find a way to heal them. You receive your healing. You receive your peace. You have the authority to take down the authority that causes chaos in one word. What's the word? Shalom. You can take it down. Father, we thank you for everyone who's listening tonight. Father, we thank you that we will stand strong. We will not allow the wiles of the devil to deceive us in any way. We will not accept his devices. He is a defeated foe. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on our lives because we are subject to you. We are your sons. We are your daughters, and we know our place, and we have authority in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Every sickness, every disease, every virus, every invasion, every perverseness is defeated in the name of Jesus. In the sound of my voice, I declare victory in every part of your life in Jesus' name. And we take that authority and we declare heaven on earth in our lives. May every door open for every person who is standing wanting to go through into new places in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.